The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive? As many as 7 times?" Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times, but 77 times. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold, along with his wife, his children, and all his property, in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. He seized one of his fellow servants and started to choke him, demanding, 'Pay back what you owe.' Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed and went to their master and reported the whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?' Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. So will your heavenly Father do to you unless each of you forgives your brother from your heart." Beloved in Christ, the Gospel of the Lord. As young people, our parents, grandparents, guardians, faith formators, priests, our elders, and sometimes even our teachers in school taught us to forgive those who have wronged us, because it is the right thing to do. Every one of us here, adult, can remember, or maybe if you can't recall, but somehow as you were growing up, you knew that forgiveness is the right thing to do. Now, as grown and matured adults, you would think that by now we should have grown and matured in the act of forgiveness. But yet, we still find it difficult to forgive. And that brings to the question, why is it so hard to forgive? But before I delve into that, Let's first and foremost figure out what forgiveness is. You know, during the Lenten season, I was supposed to give a mission on forgiveness. And I have done an extensive work on this. This act of forgiveness. What forgiveness means, what forgiveness is not. What is forgiveness? And there are a lot of definitions and descriptions of what forgiveness is about. But in this homily, I will give you two. The first is the one that I came up with myself. This is something I have been talking about for a very long time. And for me, I see forgiveness as a medicine of healing. It's a medicine that heals not just one person, but two, and sometimes more. It heals the one who was wounded and also heals the one who inflicted the wound. Forgiveness can heal a family, a society, and a nation. Boy, you look around how much forgiveness we need in this country right now. To forgive, this is the one someone else I read from a piece. To forgive is to set a prisoner free and to discover that that prisoner was you. Amazing. We oftentimes think that forgiveness is something we give to people, something that I have to give him or her. But even in these two definitions of forgiveness, you can see that it's something that you primarily offer to yourself. It is a self-medication, self-spiritual, psychological, and emotional medication. Now, knowing the benefits of forgiveness, the question is, why is it still so hard to forgive? There are a lot of reasons, but I'll give you a few of them today. We find it very difficult to forgive because the human consciousness has a hard time living in the present. The human mind is a roamer. It roams. If you sit idle, if you just sit in one place, you can see how your mind can travel throughout the globe, travel all the places you've been. And so the human mind roams all the time. And oftentimes, it roams to the past and recalls and reminds us of all the ugly things that happened to us. It reminds us of the words and people's actions that deeply hurt us. And by so doing, we cling to that past. We become prisoners of that past. We become comfortable in that prison. And this makes it difficult for us to offer forgiveness. And there are people who get so comfortable living in that past of bitterness and anger, because the mind keeps reminding them of what has happened. Rather than live in the present and with their eyes set in the future, the mind is constantly bringing back to them, refreshing, almost like rewinding and replaying the events of the past that brought pain and injury to them. If there is anyone here who is going through this, you know, prayer and meditation can really help you. And if that doesn't help, seek for counseling. Meditate on the Word of God. That's one. The human consciousness has a hard time living in the present. Two, it appears that we are prone, or you might want to use the word, wired for revenge. Whenever our pride and self-esteem is trampled upon, we want to retaliate. We want to revenge. And that's why one of our amazing popes, John Paul II, talks about the powerlessness. That the powerlessness is a new kind of power. We always think that the one who is quick to revenge, the one who is quick to hit back, the counterpuncher, is a strong man, is a strong person. And the one who is meek and gentle and kind, the one who forgives, is weak. But that's not what Jesus taught us. Actually, it is easier to fight back when you have been hit. That's the natural thing. Like I said before, we are wired to revenge. We are prone to fight back. And so if you are able to practice restraint and you hold yourself back, that is powerlessness, that is a new kind of power. You are the stronger person, the person who is able to resist. Number three, when we are hurt, we tend to assign causes and reasons for people's actions. Oh, the reason why he was mean to me is because he doesn't like me. He doesn't like my race. He doesn't like where I come from. He doesn't like my religion. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't love me. We assign reasons for why people did what they did to us. And because of that, it becomes very difficult. Imagine thinking about, this person doesn't like me. He did it because he wants to get me into trouble. She did it because she wants to have me fired from my job. Thinking about that will necessarily make it very difficult. Somebody, you think that someone wants to get rid of your livelihood. That will make it extremely difficult to forgive. But that may not be the reason. That may not be the reason why someone was mean to you. Number four, this is the one that I always hear, especially when I'm involved in counseling. We are scared of being hurt again. You find this very common among married people. When the wife is being scared, or the husband is being scared of being hurt again, or the same behavior repeating itself, what do? They shut down, close all the doors that will make it possible for forgiveness to take place. And they build up defensive mechanisms, unseen walls around themselves. This can defend you, this can protect you for a while, but it's never going to lead to real healing. Because when you build that wall, who is trapped in that wall? You. Number six, believing that your offender deserves to be punished will make it hard to forgive. Believing that your offender, I will not forgive until he or she has been punished. And actually, holding a grudge against someone may be your own way of dishing out punishment. If that holds true, I don't know how many of us will be sitting in this church now with our complete bodies. Who can really stand up and say honestly that in your entire life, you've never offended people, consciously, unconsciously? Number seven, lack of empathy. Lack of empathy for others make it difficult for us to forgive them. And what is empathy? Empathy is a psychological highway that we have to travel in order to forgive others. Empathy helps us to go beyond what has happened and to see whether the person who hurt you really needs some kind of help. To stop looking at what has happened. Why is he keep doing this? It may not be because he really hates you. It may not be because this person wants to kill you. This person wants to take away your livelihood. It may be that this person has a real fault, has a real deep wound, has a problem. People who have been wounded in the past, serially wounded, oftentimes, you know, wound other people. Number 8, we find it very difficult to forgive because the ones who have hurt us have not apologized. I will not forgive until he comes to me and says, I'm sorry. Until he says so, I am not forgiven. He has to apologize to me. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, did the folks standing there really turn to him and say, we are sorry? No. Did Jesus wait for them to apologize? No. What did he do? He offered them forgiveness. Number 9. We want to satisfy our sense of justice. They don't deserve my forgiveness. As you can see, because we constantly think that it is a gift to other people. It's something, an offering, something I have to offer him. It has to be given out without realizing the harm that it is causing us. Number 10, we think that forgiveness is letting the offender off the hook without punishment. If I forgive him, I'm letting him off the hook. If I forgive him, I'm letting him go free. But what about yourself? Don't you want to let yourself go free? Number 11. We want to harm them as much as they have done to us. I will pay him back in his own coin. How many times do we hear that? In fact, I would give him or her double portion of what she did to me. And this kind of thinking makes it absolutely impossible to forgive. Finally, number 12, we find it difficult to forgive. Forgiveness is so difficult, so hard, because we convince ourselves that the offender is incapable of repentance, is incapable of change. We stop seeing any good in them. And we forget the times when we too needed forgiveness from other people. Brothers and sisters, this is not exhaustive. These are some of the reasons why it is so hard to forgive. Because we are constantly thinking that it is for the good of the other. And we forget our own role, our part in it. And we forget that it is a self-medication, spiritual, psychological medication that you give to self. I think I have said this before, I think in one of the daily masses when I preach a little bit about forgiveness. If you are finding it very difficult to forgive, I will encourage you, maybe once a week, come into the church, sit in one of the pews. Don't sit in any of these, sit in one of these. And we have a beautiful cross. Just stay at this cross even for 5 minutes. Shut all the distractions. Shut down your phone. meditate on this cross for 5 minutes. And ask yourself, what really happened on that cross? What is the meaning of this cross? Why did Jesus have to go through this? Public shame and disgrace and humiliation. Total humiliation. What did he do? The all-powerful one. He had powers by mere words to weaken those who put him up on the cross. By the spoken word, Jesus had power to cripple each and every one of them. But he didn't take that path. What did he do? He looked down on them, saw their foolishness, saw their ignorance. And he took the highway. And you think that in Jesus' humanity that he wasn't tempted to revenge? I believe he was. If the devil tempted him at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. As soon as he came down from the mountain, the devil was there to tempt him with fame and power and pleasure. Do you think the devil will spare him, will not tempt him at the sunset of his life? I won't believe, even though the scripture did not state it, I believe that in Jesus' humanity, he was tempted to revenge. And he said, Father, forgive them because they do not know what they are doing. Brothers and sisters, stop seeing forgiveness as an act of charity you give to someone else. And begin to see it as an act of charity you primarily offer to yourself. Healing for self. And look at what it can do. And if you are wondering and asking yourself, if I don't forgive, will I be saved? The answer is no. If you don't forgive, if you hold on to that grudge to the end of your life, you risk losing salvation. Because unforgiveness is against love. And we know that God is love. Amen.